You're listening to Sustainable from Agribusiness Global, covering the crop protection, biologicals, and plant health markets' advancements towards creating a healthier planet. Hi, my name is Renee Targus. I'm the editor for Agribusiness Global, and we're here today with Lawrence Gutierrez, Business Development Manager for Certis Belgium. And today he's going to talk about the company's Growing for the Future program. So this is an interesting program that we're seeing a lot of other companies sort of move towards, where they're combining the traditional biologicals and crop protection together to reduce residue levels, to increase yields and profitability for growers. So welcome, Lawrence. It's great to have you today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the interview and this opportunity to talk about Growing for the Future in your program. Yes.
Great. Thank you. So I just wanted you to first talk a little bit about what Growing for the Future is and kind of why it was created.
Well, basically with Growing for the Future, we are assisting growers to adapt their productions to the new requirements. These requirements could be coming from the European Commission because of the Green Deal and basically the strategy from farm to fork. And these requirements about the production of more sustainable fruit production at European level. But we also have these requirements coming from supermarkets. So I think we need to support growers to be able to answer all of these new requirements, either from the political side or from the supermarket chains requirements, like, for example, to produce with no residues, as you already mentioned, and we are supporting growers on that matter. Yes.
So, you know, I was reading a little bit about Growing for the Future, and it was talking about its innovation. There's new investments. There's a communication plan. Could you talk to me about those three points of this program?
Yeah, a key element of the innovation is because we have been able to develop a large portfolio of biorationals. For us, biorationals will be plant protection products from natural origins, which are registered as pesticides at European level or country level, which is our case. The key elements that we have developed and registered and commercialized today, more than 20 different biorationals with different origin. It could be microorganisms, natural extracts, minerals, and that allow us to have a very strong portfolio to build these programs to support growers to go towards this from farm to fork or the Green Deal requirements with this new, as you know, this new KPIs established by the European Commission for 2030, where they have to reduce the chemicals, the abuse of the use of fertilizers, and to move also in a way into organic farming. And thanks to this portfolio and this innovation coming from this biorational portfolio, let's call it biopesticides or green products, we can support them in that direction.
So about the program, you know, I was looking at it and about, there's a communication element. There's a working with the growers. So Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because it sounds like it's specialized to their needs. And I'm just wondering how much a part of the growers' input goes into creating this program for them.
Yeah, this is a key element and very important. So we cannot do this in ourselves by our own, because we are specialists in our products. We also know, of course, in the crop programs, how to apply them. But the knowledge and the way in each region, and I will say in it, it's not even in each country, it's even within the same country, the way of production changed very much, for example, in Spain, our example, from the north to the south. So then you need to adapt, and then you need to discuss with them the best way to improve these crop programs and to adapt them according to their local requirements or the local way of working. And then the input from the grower, the technicians, the prescribers is very important to be able to be successful. And basically, this cannot be done in only one season. This has to be working together for projects that has to last at least 1, 2, or even 3 years till you achieve the goals you are looking for. These goals also, I didn't mention before, it could be very different. You have supermarkets requesting, for example, maximum 3 residues in fruits. Others are already requesting no residues at all. That's very difficult to target, but this happens. So we need to face the reality. Or for example, growers that have decided to be certified under organic farming. And therefore, these biorationals already mentioned are a key element for success. Yes.
You were talking about some of the, like you're communicating, you're working with the growers. Are you finding that, you know, you're bringing products to them that are not working? Is that feedback, are you bringing that feedback to your company and creating new products for them or changing products that you currently have? Or is it just, we used this product, it didn't work, we're going to try this one over here? How does that feedback happen, and how do you specialize those programs?
Well, first, before to develop any program, we set up with the grower what is the key objective he wants to achieve. Like, for example, they get requirements like, in 2 years, you need to produce zero residues. Then it's very important, the knowledge of the company, our company, in order to position the produce properly, so then we don't fail. So many times when people say, oh, the green produce is not working. No, because a green product or a biopesticide on its own is not going to do anything. So it has to be always integrated in a program or positioned in the right place to control a pest or a disease. So we cannot just leave the products to the grower to be used. And this knowledge is what is helping us to get success. And it's also bringing a very, very much our company in the top three companies developing this kind of programs today at European level. Then in terms of new R&D, yes, of course, we don't have all the products we require, and then we continue to invest. But it's more about like a new pest has appeared in Europe, or new disease has become more difficult because some chemicals have been withdrawn. So then we get to see resistance, and then we need to build this kind of products also to face this kind of potential resistance with insecticides, acaricides, or fungicides. But in general, a green product or a biopesticide, if it's well used, it will work. Otherwise, it will not be resistant. That's the key point. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. So yeah, I know that a lot of times I've heard that growers don't have a lot of faith in biologicals just because they do need specific directions and maybe they're not being used right. That's also the case for the traditional crop protection. So I'm very impressed that you've got that communication going, because I really think that, you know, from what I've heard from the industry, is that's the need for biologicals to be successful, is that education and that support to farmers. I also wanted to ask you, I mean, the results for this were, you know, just tremendous. I mean, you had 3% to 9% increase in grower profitability. There was a 77% reduction in chemical products, zero residue. I mean, you had these studies in indoors and outdoors, environments. But what were some of the hurdles that you faced to get to this program to work so well? I mean, how is it constructed? It sounds to me like these results didn't just happen overnight. Like, what was the process to getting it to this point?
Well, before to talk about the hassles, I would say that, we oriented now our growing for the future to the KPIs started by Europe and the supermarkets. But we, in terms of promoting, supporting the growers, we also have set up our own KPIs. We have 5 KPIs for each program, where we measure the efficacy, just to know if our products are as good as just conventional 100% pure chemicals. Where are we in terms of comparison of efficacy? Then we measure the reduction of the number of applications in the program. So we have achieved, for example, in greenhouses, up to 80% reduction of chemical use. Then we measure, we already talked about during the interview, about the reduction of residues in fruits. But another important element that we have incorporated in the KPIs we measure is the analysis and evaluation of the environmental impact. Very important for large producers, which already having questions from supermarkets and the food chain about what steps are you doing towards to reduce the environmental impact. And for that, I think it's important to mention that we are working with a formula created by the University of Cornell in New York, United States, and they already have done this work. They have been working for this for many, many years, where the calculation is available, so then you can measure the impact of your programs, and it's taking into account the active substance, the concentration, the dose rate, the way it's been applied, and that gives you already a value that you can use to measure if in a 3-year program you are progressing or not. And the last one you already mentioned is profitability, very important. Normally, when we set up objectives with growers, we need to measure, okay, is this profitable or not? In many cases, it's true that when you use biorationals or biopesticides, the products become more expensive, but it's also true that we already have growers that are having more profitability thanks to the improvement of the production based on the better price that they get for a residue zero residues production, or in organic farming, it's even more clear. And when you make the calculations, we also measure where are we. Are we helping the grower to be more profitable or not? And we already have several places where we have been very successful, and this is why they are following us. In terms of hazards that you mentioned or difficulties, I think the main one is the speed at the withdrawal of active substance at European level. Today, the evaluation or re-registration of products at European level is becoming more and more difficult. So then each year, the growers has less and less tools to complete their program. So they need more support. What are we doing to support them is to get a very good, let's call it like regulatory intelligence, to be able to know in advance what is going to happen, to prepare the replacement of these withdrawals with time, working together with the grower. So basically, we know that a compound will be withdrawn in 2 years, and we already prepare new programs to overcome this difficulty that the grower will face in 2 years' time. But answering your question, yes, definitely, the more difficult thing is the speed at those chemicals being withdrawn, and no new innovation, new chemical molecules coming rapidly enough to replace them. And this is why biorations are playing year by year a more important role in these programs.
What about, I didn't see anything about ag tech. Are you using any ag tech in this program as far as sensors or anything along those lines?
We have some experience, but this new agrimical technology is the next step we want to get involved in growing for the future. We have had some experiences, but I cannot say that today it's integrated in the project. We have done things like cooperating with other companies that they have used remote control probes or devices to measure, for example, humidity in the soil to help us to regulate the irrigation system in the field, in the production, greenhouse and open field, which in a country like Spain, this is critical because of the water scarcity. But more interesting than that, because this is common technology, we already have a company supporting us using pros or devices that are located directly on the surface of the leaf, and they can give us the measurement of the humidity and temperature of the leaf. And this is supporting us to make proper recommendation with biopesticide. And I will give one example. We have an insecticide with this Beoveria bassiana, which is a microorganism being used as an insecticide, a acaricide. And the humidity in the leaf is critical for success. So then we measure the humidity in the leaf, and then we can tell the grower at what time of the day they should apply. Normally, of course, early in the morning or late in the afternoon. But for example, in summer, we need to be very careful with these recommendations. So this kind of high tech is going to be more and more in agriculture. And despite all the devices that everybody knows, they are very, very new technology like this one I mentioned that is becoming very interesting to support us to control better the pest or the disease on the aerial part of the plant, as well as in the root system.
What about, you had talked a little bit about it being more expensive to use biologicals. Like, what kind of percentage of increase in cost are we talking about for growers?
But it depends. For example, on an IPM where we combine chemicals and biorationals, the difference is not high because the way you develop the program, you can justify depending on the kind of crop. If it's a high value crop or low value crop, you can adjust your program. So normally it could be an increase of 10-15%. If you go into organic farming, yes, that could be far more expensive, 30-40%. But at the same time, they get a better price. So at the end, as I mentioned, it's one of our KPIs to measure at the end of the production if despite the increase of the cost of the program, it's still profitable or not for the grower. And in many cases, we have been very successful, and this is why they continue to work with us, because at the end, they get profitable procedural results based on the high quality and the production adapted to the requirements of their own customers, the supermarkets and the traders.
All right. So this is my last question. And I was just wondering, I'm really curious about the whole communication process because I really feel like that's lacking in a lot of the crop protection. So could you kind of walk me through like a case study of like what involves like what kind of communication, like how much communication are we talking about that you're having with growers and what kind of education do you provide?
Yes, the communication in terms of training and helping them is very important. So we, under the umbrella of Growing for the Future, have developed, started this year, what we call the Growing Academy. In Growing Academy, we are doing the transfers of knowledge of the use of biorationals, but also we explain and we share our experience and results in each program based on these five KPIs already mentioned. And the more important is that we are not only selling products, but we are a solution provider. So then we use this Growing Academy to transfer the knowledge we learn in a project once we complete the cycle that normally, as I mentioned, it could be from 1 to 3 years. In general, we need at least 3 years to achieve positive results. So this knowledge is being transferred to the growers, the producers, the technical staff supporting the growers under this Growing Academy concept. And in terms of communication, we always make publications in magazines at European level, national level. We also have our own Growing for the Future magazine that we make 5 numbers per year. Each number is focused in one crop, and this is distributed to our dealers, to the technicians and the customers close to our dealers. And we focus, for example, one magazine in greenhouse vegetables, open field vegetables, another one for table grape and vines, another one for fruits, another one for olives and citrus. So that is part of the success of the project. We started long time ago, more than 10 years ago, in greenhouse. Now we are capable to develop our experience and knowledge in all the crops, not only herbaceous, but also in perennial crops.
So, you know, this is a kind of a follow-up question. So you know that, you know, educating, you're talking about like European farmers in the European Union. Are you going outside? Is your company going outside of that to like places like Brazil or the United States?
Not yet. Today, basically, we have started this pilot project in Spain. Now we have a coordination in all branches at European level, and this is going to be implemented. Or the next step is to expand the project completely to all branches in Europe, Fertis Belgium. And then there are, of course, some communication with our colleagues of Fertis Biologicals in United States, but that will be a second or third step.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lawrence, for, you know, taking the time to speak with us and our listeners. And we just really appreciate you sort of giving us an insight into this new program.
Thank you very much, René, for this opportunity to explain our project in your media. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Thank you so much. For those interested, we'll have more information about biologicals on agribusinessglobal.com, and you can read the latest news. We also have a newsletter that covers biologicals that you can sign up for. Until next time, thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Sustainable from Agribusiness Global. You can find more podcasts, videos, news, e-newsletters, event, and webinar information at agribusinessglobal.com.